All right, gang. The temperature in Austin today, Friday, June 23rd, is supposed to get up to 104 degrees. So if you're practicing in your garage, you are nuts. Let me tell you about a much better alternative. That's Space Rehearsal and Recording. Space is a state-of-the-art, affordable venue for rehearsal and recording located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin with 31 spacious rooms and ice-cold air conditioning. Call them at 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com. That's Space Rehearsal and Recording. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a great show for you guys today. The amazing singer-songwriter Ty Austin is here. His new album, I Belong to You, came out in January. Fantastic, fantastic album. It's his fourth album. You can find him on Spotify, on iTunes, on SoundCloud, places where you find music. You can also find him at MyNameIsTyAustin.com. Okay? Check it out. And if you live in Austin, he's playing tomorrow night, Saturday, June 24th, at 310 Austin City Limits Live. He's having a very special birthday show where he will be baking some very special cupcakes. Not what you think, magic cupcakes, but just special cupcakes for his birthday. He's going to bring them out there. Check it out. It's going to be delicious. The guy's a great baker. I know this because he was on my show that I have with AJ Vallejo, Cooking and Drinking with Johnny and AJ, and he made a chocolate whiskey cake, which was absolutely delicious. I will put a link to that show on our Facebook page. That's How Did I Get Here's Facebook page. So go on out there and check it out. Anyway, Ty and I have a fantastic conversation. He was one of the very first contestants on The Voice. He's a cancer survivor. He's a young dude. He's going to be 34 tomorrow. So he's a young dude, and he's lived some intense stuff in his life. And we have a great conversation about it. Great conversation about what kind of person he is. He was very forthcoming about who he is as a guy, which is great when people do that and they come on the show. I love it. Made me like him even more. I liked him when we did the cooking show. I liked him when I hung out with him a couple of times last week. And then liked him even more when we sat down and had this fantastic conversation, which we will get to in just a minute. First, let me tell you what's going on with me. I had a great week so far. Hopefully you had a great week. I got to sling some drinks at Sophia's the other night to benefit the Health Alliance for Austin Musicians, HAM. My friend AJ Vallejo and I went over there. We also shot one of our cooking shows while we were there, which should be out now. I will also post it on our How Did I Get Here Facebook page. Anyway, we went out there, and what they do is every Tuesday from 7 to 9, they have a happy hour, and they have a special drink that benefits HAM. And you go in there, and you order that special drink, and they have bartenders that are guest bartenders. This week it was AJ and myself. Last week it was Wild Child. They have a lot of great people over there. You should go to HAM, myham.org, to find out more about HAM. Find out about their events. They're great. If you're not a musician, it's a great organization to support. They support affordable health insurance for musicians. That's what they do. They bring affordable health care to musicians. So there you go. HAM. AJ and I had a great time. We hung out with the HAM people. The bartenders there were real fun. The drink that we made was called a lemon snapper, which was like this lemon juice, sugar, and Tito's vodka poured over shaved ice. So it was like a lemonade slushy that had a little kick to it via Tito's. It was great. We had a great time hanging out with all the HAM people, hanging out with all the people that work at Sophia's. And there's a show about making those drinks and their kitchen. So, that was my week, pretty much. Rehearsed with Skyrocket, did some stuff around the house, played some music, done a lot of exercising, but also got to sit down with the amazing Ty Austin. What an amazing musician. Pick up his album, I Belong to You. Go to MyNameIsTyAustin.com. If you live in Austin, go to his birthday show tomorrow night, Saturday, June 24th at 310 Austin City Limits Live. If you live in Houston, Skyrocket will be playing there tonight, Friday, June 23rd. Come on out, Fitzgerald's. Fitzgerald's in Houston with Skyrocket. All right, let's get to this great conversation I had with Ty Austin. Great dude, great musician, very honest and forthcoming about who he is as a dude, which I think you will enjoy. So, I hope you enjoy my conversation with the incredibly talented Ty Austin. Let's get down.
I can't pinpoint the moment that I knew, but I know that something's off. There's a stranger loving you, and I've had enough. The world is turning, it keeps on going, a broken record of mine, and all it plays is you don't love me.
So you played at the Millennium Youth Complex. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you play in like one of the theaters or in that big rec room, in the middle?
No, it was in the foyer.
Food court? The foyer. Yeah,
yeah, so okay. They blocked off some stuff. And yeah, I guess I need to.
You can talk on the mic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. Test it out, not be one of those guys that talks all the way back here.
And, right. Yeah. I get those kind of guys.
Yes.
What was the show for? Was for Black Leaders?
It was Black Leadership and Excellence in Austin or something like that.
Were you being recognized or were you the entertainment?
I had the opportunity to be recognized, but I felt really weird about it, so I never responded to her emails.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
what were they going to say? Like, what were you like?
So they were putting together, it was a lot of different people within the community that I guess do a lot of different things, a wide variety of people. And it just was weird. I was like, I don't do anything in the community. I don't.
In the Black community?
Yeah. And well, I mean, I just don't do anything in the community.
Yeah, period.
Yeah. I sing and I go home.
Yeah. How? Well, I mean, it's a job.
Yeah.
Is that the only job you have? Singing?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Why did you become such a good chef and pastry chef?
Two reasons. Because my mom is a great baker and, but like a great home baker. I don't know. They just taste really good and I always missed it. And she makes great pies. And every time I go home, she's always making a cherry pie for me, which is great, solely for me. And, I like it. I like to eat. And when I was doing chemo, my sleep schedule was so screwed up and I would sleep throughout the day and then I'd be up all night.
Wait, when you were doing chemo?
Yeah.
Because you had cancer?
Yeah. I went through cancer for 3 years, 2013 through 2016.
You're kidding me.
Nope.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What kind of cancer?
Skin cancer, melanoma.
From all that Hawaii sun?
No.
Oh.
Just, I don't know. I don't know.
It could be genetics. It could have been genetic. Yeah. Wow, that is insane.
Yeah, it was.
Were you here or were you in Hawaii?
I was here, yeah. Haven't been to Hawaii in a long time.
Are your parents in Hawaii?
Nope, they live in Michigan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, how did you find that out? Like, what?
I had this bruise, I guess, on my leg, and I had it for a long time, and I didn't have a car at the time, and I had a messenger bag that would hang down low, and I thought that it was because I was walking everywhere and it was bumping up against my leg, and that's what I thought it was. And then I just started feeling really, really, really terrible, and this is like a year and a half later, it was still there. But I just never went to the doctor for it. And then I went to the doctor for something else. And I was like, while I'm here, can you check this out? And he's like, well, that doesn't look right. You need to go see a dermatologist. So then I went and saw a dermatologist. Dermatologist took one look at it and said, that looks cancerous. We're going to do a biopsy right now. And then we'll send it off. But I'm pretty sure you have cancer. And then I was like, okay, well.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but that's like kind of a really, what I'd be like, why don't you look at it first and then let me know if you're real. Like,
yeah, no, he was pretty, he was like, yeah, that was.
Well, how old were you then?
This was, let's see, I'm 33, turning 34, 31, I guess.
Jesus, I mean.
Yeah.
You're a young dude.
Yeah.
And you just. I mean, what happens to you when that happens? Like, as a person, like, what goes through your mind? When someone tells you that, and they tell you, they confirm it. They're like, yeah, this is skin cancer.
Well, I mean, I didn't really know. It's more so when someone says cancer, you don't really know what that means. You know, it's just, it's, you know, in the movies when, or television, when someone gives somebody bad news and then it's like they can't hear anything else. It's like everything gets tuned out and then there's just this white noise. That's what it is, because it's like being slapped in the face and then you're shocked by that, you know?
Right.
You're reeling from it.
Like you get your bell rung.
Yeah.
Your ears start ringing and it's like you're seeing stars.
Yeah. That's right. Kind of what it was. And I just could not really understand what was being, like, processing that, and I'm also someone that doesn't ask questions, so I was like, okay, well, it was during South By, and it was right before.
Can I make
before
my show? Can I still make my show, Doc? Yeah. Was that your first thought?
Well, it was more like, I don't know what to do, because it was, like, right downtown. The dermatologist was downtown, and I was like, oh, this is perfect, because then I can go right, and, you know, I had a badge and everything, and I was like, yeah, I'm just going to go down and have a great time, and then I was like, I was walking out of there. I was like, well, shit. Okay. This is all right. Let's go do South By. So, you know, we had a great time. It was the best South By. It was the year that Prince was here. Mm-hmm. And I got to see Prince. And yeah, best South By ever. Worst South By ever. Yeah. But I mean, it was just one of those things. And then they're like, well, you got to do chemo. So then I started doing chemo. And then they just kept on assigning me different drugs and trying to figure out what was good for my system and what wasn't. And the whole time I kept on feeling progressively worse and worse, because my body was like, oh, well, this is what's up. And now we're going to give you a whole shit show. And I was tired all the time, but I had to do gigs because I needed like some sort of supplemental income. And so I would go do a gig and then I would go home and crash. And, like, just sleep. But back to baking. And then, so my sleep schedule was, like, so screwed up that I would stay up and bake. Because it was just a way to focus, you know, just to do whatever. And I'd watch these YouTube videos and...
because you really do have a technique. I mean, you're really... I mean, for those of you that are listening to this that don't know why I know so much about this dude's baking, is that I have this cooking show with our mutual friend, AJ Vallejo, and Ty was our guest, and we made whiskey chocolate cake, and you know how to make, like, florets with icing. Mm-hmm. You know how to do all the stuff right. And you did a lot of it, I felt, was, like, very eyeball. There's not a lot of, like, measuring cups, but that's a pro. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because I need to use stuff, because I don't know how much stuff I'm putting, but you have that feel. You could tell there was a real flow to, you had done this many times.
It's like playing an instrument.
Yeah.
After you've done it enough, you're like, oh, I can kind of do this. Or I can probably go to this chord, or let's try this. You know, it's just a...
Yeah.
It is very technical, but...
So can I ask you a question really quickly about, were you going through that chemo stuff when you were on The Voice?
No, that was after. It was like 2 years after. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. 2 years after The Voice, or 2 years? Okay.
After The Voice.
How did The Voice come about?
Wait. Yep.
We're going to get to this.
Okay.
Okay. But let's go back. You were born in Hawaii.
I was born in Hawaii.
And you were adopted at 4 days old.
I was.
To this family where the mom is the great baker.
Yep.
What about the dad?
The dad is a good cook occasionally. No, I'm just kidding. No. he's a Marine. He worked in the bomb squad. And... now he's a retired Marine, and what does he do? He gets contracted out to help people figure out bomb stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a real job.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating job.
Still has all of his fingers, and...
That's good.
That's a good sign.
That's a great sign. So you're born there, they adopted you, and how long before you moved to Michigan? Or did you, how long did you live
no,
in?
So he was in... the military, we moved around everywhere.
Okay.
North Carolina, Japan, Arizona, Michigan, Texas. Yeah, all those places. So we just moved around a lot. Went to 9 schools.
Yeah. Did that make you, I feel like I did that a lot when I was a kid and I moved around. I had to make friends like that. And I think, I don't want to sound like I think I'm funny, but I have a sense of humor and I'm fast and I'll throw shit in there because that was the fastest way to not get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
When you're going somewhere and you're different, kind of artsy and weird.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I'm sure you had to encounter a lot of that.
Exact same.
Yeah.
Yep. It's really easy for me to make friends and it's also easy for me to like move on and like separate. I don't know. It's easy. Wow, if you move away, I'm okay with it. I'll be fine. I don't have to talk to you and all that other good stuff. And if we see each other again, I can fall right back into it like nothing happened. But it's harder for other people because they're not used to it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You grew up moving around.
Yeah.
How did you find music? Because you're a really musical person. And you play guitar really well. You play piano really well. You're an amazing singer. Great songwriter.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was a way to make friends. Music.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wanted to be a Disney kid.
Oh, you did?
Yep. Yeah.
You had that.
Like the
Justin and.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling and and they just turn you into these superhero performers.
They do. It's man. It's like they're the Russian gymnasts.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a machine, and I wanted to be a part of it. Never was.
And so, what did you? How old were you when you made that?
Oh man, I'm probably 4.
Oh really?
Yeah.
And you started learning instruments, or?
Oh no! I didn't learn instruments until probably college.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you went to you. How did you find UT? Because you went to UT for political science, right?
Yep. I did. Let's see. What did I do? I was either going to be a Marine or I was going to go to school, whichever accepted me first. Whoever was quickest, that was what was going to happen. And then I got my acceptance letter to UT. And then,
Was there a sigh of relief involved with that? Because there wasn't this massive physical thing you'd have to do?
No. It was just
What about the Marines attracted you? You'd seen it, so you kind of knew what it was.
Yeah, I was just familiar with military life. And it was like, okay, well, it's either this or that, you know?
And you were okay with that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
I do wonder what Ty would have been like if...
Interesting, right? Yeah. You'd taken that road.
Yeah. Yeah. That would have been very different.
So you came to Austin, mm-hmm. and you had some kind of proclivity for music. Because mm-hmm. you can obviously... I mean, if you started that when you were in college, what, like 15 years ago or something? Like early 2000s?
Yeah. When did you move to Austin? 2001.
2001?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was it that attracted, like, was there a particular song? Like, what was the thing that happened that made you start learning instruments?
I guess people found out that I was interested in music and, you know, I'm one of those weird people that there's a song for every situation.
Yeah.
You say something and I'll sing whatever line it is from the song. Yeah. I don't know.
My mom and my aunts used to do that to me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I just do that. And they're like, oh, well, you got a cool voice. This is the live music capital of the world. You should perform. And I was like, oh, well, that's cool. What's easy to carry around? A guitar. So let's get a guitar. Man, I was brutal with the first guitars that I got. I was not, I mean, leave them in my car in the summer and let that warp. No, yeah. Just warp. It would warp, man. And I did that 3 times. It's an expensive lesson to learn.
Yeah.
That was it. You know, I was like, friends, encouragement. Okay, let's see what happens. And oh man, I sang downtown for 4 hours and I made $20 in tips. That's amazing.
Were you busking on the street?
No. My first 2 gigs, I basically went, I had my guitar, I went to the bar, I was like, I want to sing here. And they're like, okay, well, sing something for us. I sang and they're like, okay, yeah, definitely, you could sing here. And the other place was My buddy and I, we were like, okay, South By, that's cool. Let's try to do something during South By. I had no idea what South By was. And I was like, well, let's have an event. Let's do an event at this coffee shop. We'll do it out here and outside. We'll see if they'll let us do it. And we went and asked.
Where was it? Cherrywood or something?
No, was it Houndstooth? But it wasn't Houndstooth. It, on Congress, okay. Fourth and Congress.
It's, okay.
It used to be Saddle's Best.
Okay.
And just went in and asked. I was like, hey, can we do something during South By? And they're like, well, we don't typically stay open late. I think they close at 6.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, you know, we'll have my guitar. Let's sing something for you and we'll do it. And then, you know, a lot of people come and then you guys can stay open and sell more coffee. And I sang and they're like, okay, yeah, we like you. We'll do it. We'll do it. And bought a PA and set it up outside and sang and people came and it was fun. I don't know. Yeah.
It's like a charmed, it's been a charmed sort of like entrance into the music business.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Didn't nobody really bitch slapped you at the beginning and made you not go in home the beginning and get yeah. your shit together.
Yeah, not at
That's
all.
That's great.
Yeah.
So how did that show went well?
Yeah, yeah.
People liked it?
It did, yep. Yep. The only thing that was a fail was the shirt that I chose to wear.
Oh, well, and you chose to wear a shirt was the thing.
I did choose to wear a shirt.
What was the You gotta realize that if I give you shit and razz right. you for wearing a shirt, it's right. because my body is in the shape where that's not an option for me to sort of do. And so I'm a little bit like when I saw that, I was like, fuck, man. I remember when I was young and I would just take my shirt off on the yep. stage in front of, now I'm like, God, I hope this part of my shirt isn't lifting up so no one sees this roll coming
right,
over
right.
my belt.
Little, yeah. You know, the muffin top thing, it's happening. It happens to me, you know? I mean, it's just, it is what it is, but I'm trying to get over, I never was that guy.
What was the shirt?
The shirt was a deep V. It was
yeah.
a deep V.
I remember when those deep Vs were coming
they were,
out.
Man, they were in, you know? Everybody was wearing them. Nope, this girl, Liz. If you're listening, Liz, you messed me up.
She said wear that deep V, didn't
she? No, she did not. No. She was like, what the hell are you wearing?
Oh. Oh, and then you had to play and that's all you could think about.
That's all I could think about, yep.
Yeah. I hate that.
So no more deep Vs, just a normal V.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what, then you just started playing around and...
Yeah, there's always been a really cool snowball effect for me. I think that everything's a stepping stone and every opportunity, it's just, excuse me, tossing a stone into the water and seeing what happens. Someone sees me perform somewhere to a crowd of two. And they're like, oh, man, you should come and do this. So there was a general manager at the Driscoll who was like, oh, man, we need to get you at the Driscoll. And then I was like, okay, let's do it. So then I started playing at the Driscoll. And then, you know, random people and random yeah. gigs and MySpace. MySpace was great. Put up my music on MySpace or YouTube. And I don't know. It's just everybody... I don't know. In Austin specifically, I feel like people want live music, and the city is always encouraging people to use as much possible for their events. And I don't know. And then other times, I mean, with the Fro too, the Fro was a good thing. It was a good look, especially starting out. So I think that helps.
Right.
And people
it had like a sort of like there was almost like a caricature. That yeah. Do you know Jamie Harris?
No.
It's blonde hair and like has black glasses. But she's like, she has this look that can be, you could make it into a stamp. You know what I mean?
I think I actually do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know her.
Yeah. And that sort of that Fro thing, you could yeah, do that yeah. same thing. Like, yeah. you know, smiling face and a, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Crazy afro and like, oh, yeah. it's Tay.
Exactly.
Ty, sorry.
No, you're good. It's good.
So you got out and started playing?
Yep.
And so what did you put together a band eventually, or you, how did you like make you, because is I Belong to You isn't your first record?
No, number four.
Mm-hmm.
I MySpace, Craigslist, sent out messages. It's like, hey, I'm looking for a guitarist. Found a guitarist first. He moved in from, I don't know where he moved in from. I always say South Dakota. I think it's Montana. And we've been playing together forever. And then, keyboardist was random. I needed to hire a full band, and I thought that I was hiring somebody else because the guy that I actually hired I had been avoiding because he was always messaging me about working together, and I was like, I don't want to work with this guy. And then in he walks in and I was like, oh crap, you know, it's this guy.
Yeah,
this guy. And No, and he's just super prepared all the time. Well, most of the time. And I love him to death. And I eventually blackmailed him into making me his best man for his wedding. And, you know, that was great. And everybody else, you know, I've been performing longer and I meet a lot of musicians and a lot of other vocalists. With this new project, I wanted a bigger band because big band is fun and I like performing and singing. I love harmony. Yeah. And so compiled a bunch of great friends and that are all doing their own individual projects as well, but you know, totally down to help me out on mine. So
you got two backup singers,
yep. Mm-hmm.
Two horn players, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then drums, bass and guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Keys.
Mm-hmm.
And live, I saw a lot of videos. You sing and do you play guitar too?
Live? I don't really play guitar live.
Okay.
No, I have them and I'm lazy. So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
Well, that's good. It gives you a chance to convey your message to the people, exactly. Which is really the job of the guy that's singing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where did you start playing? Like, where did you get out and start doing stuff?
In the beginning or?
In the beginning. Oh, what happened to political science? Did you finish? Did you get a degree?
No. Mm-mm.
And what did your parents say?
You called them
one day and you were like, hey, I got this guitar I leave in the car and it's warping, but I got this gig that I played 4 hours and made $20. I think I'm going to get out of the racket and start being a musician professionally.
For my parents' reaction, I don't really remember. And I make a lot of decisions without telling my parents. I just kind of do it. But I also like to think that I'm the most responsible or one of the most responsible kids that they have. So they've never really had a problem with anything. And if they have, they haven't said it. They're very supportive, extremely supportive. They're big fans of my music. Even when the music is terrible, they're big fans.
Good.
I love it.
I think watch your videos and listen to your album when you gave it to me that night, mm-hmm. that we made the cake. I was just like, this guy has the whole thing. Like, it doesn't seem like there's I don't know. Do you feel like you've written songs that could go the distance and be big songs on the radio?
I think that,
I don't know if I just don't know, like R&B as a style well enough to be the judge of that. Cause I am very impressed and I'm like, oh, why isn't this on, you know, Universal or you know,
I don't actively look for a record deal, and I don't know if that's what it takes to get a record deal.
Looking for one?
Yeah, I mean, like contacting people, and I don't know.
So you don't have management or anything? You just kind of run the whole show yourself. You book yourself.
I do.
Run the band.
For the past couple months, I've been working with a really great person who's been helping out with PR, and I've relinquished some control over some of that just to let her do her thing, you know, cause she's great. And, but I mean, for pretty much everything, yeah, I do it myself. I feel lucky that, people approach me, but I'm constantly emailing people and harassing people. And it's like, let me play. I don't know.
Yeah. How did you get the voice?
The voice? One of my friends.
They found you, right?
Well, no.
Someone submitted you?
No.
What?
One of my friends, he said that there was a casting call, and he told me, he was like, man, you got to do this.
And what season was that?
Season one.
Season one.
Yeah.
With the one Nakia was on?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And I just tried out.
How far did you go?
I was eliminated in the battle rounds by Nakia.
You still talk to that motherfucker?
No, I'm joking. I do.
That's a pretty interesting thing to have that, you know, he's like, you know, you guys were on the first season, mm-hmm. of this show and he battled, like, you guys are the only ones that can sit and look in each other's eyes and be like, remember that? And be like, fuck yeah, and not have to say anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to really explain stuff. And Nakia's on the show, he's explained many times, even when we did this live one a couple weeks ago, like with AJ, him and Jane Ellen Bryant, who did, I think she did American Idol.
Okay.
But didn't go very far at all.
Yeah.
She just went to the thing, auditioned, and
they're weird shows. They're just weird. Everything about it's weird. Everything about it.
What was your experience on there? I mean,
it was amazing.
Who chose you?
CeeLo.
Oh, wow. Yep. So you guys were both Team mm-hmm. CeeLo. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it was a great experience. It's one of the coolest things that I've done. It's just weird. You know.
I mean, how long? You hadn't been playing that long by then, right?
No, like three years, 4 years, something like that.
And then you were like on national TV.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all luck. It's randomness. It's very random. When you get on a show like that, it's all random because you have to go through all of these auditions and they're interested in your story.
Did they like, oh, he was adopted?
I think that was like a selling point for them because they're like, his parents are white and he's black. Yeah. This is going to be good on television because we're not going to show you who he is. We'll show his parents. And
then all of a sudden this black guy.
And then suddenly there's a black guy and he's got a big fro.
And he's super cute.
Yeah. They're going to love it. They're going to love it.
Yes. And they did.
Yeah.
Lo and behold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you miss out on black stuff growing up?
Mm-hmm. Dead. But I don't. Man, I'm going to be 34 in a week. So I feel like I've caught up to a lot of stuff. And now I just like I pick and choose what I want to be a part of.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I remember being a kid. I mean, I'm Cuban.
Yeah.
And I was born here, but my parents were born in Cuba. And so there were things like, no one ever gave me Brussels sprouts until I was seven and I went to someone's house and I was like, Jesus. But then I remember spending the night at my friend's house and he was black and just their whole, like their dinner, the food, the music, the shows, it was its own. I was like, well, why am I not seeing all of this stuff everywhere? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's like some cultural stuff. So I could imagine growing up with white parents. There's, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I could only do like, obviously I'm older than you, but I, you know, like Soul Train and stuff like that. Like I didn't know until the next morning they're all watching Soul Train. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah. I don't think I really knew anything about Soul Train until later. Yeah. My TV shows were, I don't know. I wouldn't say white, but yeah.
But was your music like, here's the perfect example. Mm-hmm. You know The Jerk, the movie The Jerk mm-hmm. with Steve Martin? Mm-hmm. When his black family is playing, he can't clap in time with everyone. He's a step out. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden one night they play the whitest music like Glenn Miller and he starts like tapping his toes and he actually has rhythm. It just... their rhythm was too much for him to handle. When you bring it down to this Glenn Miller white dude rhythm, then he could dance and he had all this stuff. Yeah. Like, I can't get into this Rick Astley, but then all of a sudden, like, you know, Sexy Motherfucker comes on by Prince and you're like, wait a minute.
No, never. Oh, well, I did have an aha moment once, and that was with Brian McKnight's music. But that was just because I really liked his voice.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I just love music. I love all types of music. And growing up, so five brothers, three sisters, everyone listened to something different. Because I can remember the time period that I was in by the music that my siblings were listening to. And, and my parents, they listened to a lot of different stuff, too.
So, really? What did they?
Big into, like, 90s country. And then a lot of old school country too. So the Hank Williams and Willie Nelson and Loretta Lynn and, you know, good stuff.
And what'd your siblings turn you on to?
Madonna, Green Day.
Yeah.
But my parents also listened to like Depeche Mode and Def Leppard and Aerosmith and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
No Black Sabbath, I don't think. But then... when I got into high school, and my other siblings were in high school, I mean, Destiny's Child, Craig David, I was a big fan of Craig David. I don't know, you know, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, all the boy band stuff. Yeah, a lot of TRL stuff. Yeah.
I saw that they were playing, like, there's some MTV2 channel when I was staying at my ex's with my dogs last week. I saw they have, like, the best of TRL on there now. It's extremely young-looking Carson Daly.
Yeah.
And all those goofy bands.
Yep.
It's funny, at that point, there were so many different bands on that. Did you used to watch that show kind of religiously? There was always like...
kind of geeked out on The Voice when I met Carson.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he hosts that show.
Yeah.
I met him once on the street, right outside of MTV Studios. Yeah. He was standing there talking to somebody, and I was walking through Times Square, and it was at the, it was like an hour after the show ended, you know, and he was going home or whatever. Yeah. And that was pretty, I don't know why I remember, but I thought it was always so awesome that they had, you know, like one day they would have like NSYNC, and then the next day they'd have fucking Metallica on there. You know what I mean?
Like, exactly. There's a lot of like pretty diverse,
very diverse show.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems like music started losing its boundaries then.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you came up like that with Hank Williams, Loretta Lynn, mm-hmm. And then eventually like Brian McKnight, mm-hmm. and Madonna.
Yep.
Little Green Day.
Yep.
What do you listen to now? Like on your own, when you go to listen to some, what do you listen to?
Right now I listen to stuff just to get inspiration for shows. Let's see. I like Leon Bridges.
Yeah.
I love Corinne Bailey Ray.
Yeah.
I thought I was a fan of Katy Perry, but now I've got issues with her.
What are the issues?
Oh, man. It's just... there. I don't know. There's a point with certain little pop darlings that they don't glow as brightly. And then I see them for what they really are. And I used to think that Katy Perry was like a really great performer, but I don't, or maybe, I don't know, maybe she's just stressed out and needs to take a break.
Well, she just did a thing where they, what did they have, like, she was on camera live streaming for 24 hours a day. For I saw a thing of it and I clicked on it, but it was like, 6:30 in the morning, so I clicked on it and it was just like her sleeping and there's just like thousands of people writing her messages as she's sleeping, and I was like, yeah, I don't know what people, I mean, just aren't buying records is the thing. It's like
you're keeping them interested by let you
live streaming
sleep.
Of me sleeping.
Exactly. That's maybe I would do that. I don't know, we'll see.
How do you view this business as, like, I mean, like, I know that you I Belong to You was 25 on the iTunes R&B charts?
Yeah, okay. Very briefly.
That's pretty awesome. I was excited. What does that translate into in this day and age?
You know, it sounds cool. It's all about perception. Everything is about perception.
Yeah, like to me, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, exactly. No, and it was amazing to me too, because I've just never, I mean, that's a chart, you know? There we go, that's a chart. And it sounds cool, and but I mean... success. I mean, how does one measure success? And there are just goals like that I want to reach, you know. This day and age, I don't know. I can make a living off of what I'm doing, and that's like huge to me. And I love doing it. And people still continue to come out and listen to the music. So I guess that's the most important thing. My favorite thing about right now is the internet. The internet allows people in different countries to listen to my music, which is amazing. People that would never have had access. The internet is like the independent musician's best friend. There's a lot of music out there, and...
I think you also need to have good music, because there is this perception that, oh, the internet's there, I'm going to be famous all over the world. Oh, yeah. But if your stuff sucks, you're not going to.
Yeah.
And if people are getting into your stuff all over the world, then that means that it's working.
Yeah.
And you're doing something right.
Something, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And you've got a lot of shows coming up. I wanted to talk about this one that this will be out on Friday. So if you're listening to this the day it comes out tomorrow, Saturday, June 24th, you will be at 310 ACL Live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you opening for someone, or is that your own show?
It's my show. It's my
That's
birthday
your show?
Show.
That's your birthday show?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm going to be in Houston that night. I would love to go to your birthday show.
That is all right.
Well, people need to get... I'm glad that you came in this week to do this, because this is a fortuitous thing. Everyone, do you know what the cover is and all that
stuff?
Yeah,
it's like a pre-sale is like $12, and then it'll be $15 at the door. Okay. There's going to be a DJ... to begin with, DJ Ulabai, and then Mama K and the Shades are going to open up.
Who's that?
A great 10-piece band.
No way.
Yeah. They're so talented. They're just horns. She's got a great voice. they're freaking talented. So, and then let's see, Amanda Lee. I'm gonna let Amanda Lee do an acoustic set for. She'll do like 15, 20 minutes, and then yeah, then hopefully I'm not drunk, and I will get up there on stage and.
That's what happened to me the other night at that Prince thing.
Yeah.
You bought me a drink. That other Amy Edwards
yep.
was mm-hmm. like, "Oh, yep. the tab's open. Just yeah. say it's on me."
Yeah, yeah.
And I hadn't eaten.
Oh,
and
yeah.
so like once I was like, "Oh, it's just like fuck. I'm starving and I'm getting drunk yep. and I'm gonna be weird."
Yeah.
And then I was scared that AJ was gonna be like, "Oh, come up and do this," and I'd be like, "I'm so drunk." And that guy took his shirt off, and if I take mine off, it's gonna be like the fucking Stay Puft Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters no. coming up here to dance. With his jiggly boobies.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, and then if you're not drunk, you will play a great show.
I will. It'll be great regardless.
Okay, so people can go to mynameistyaustin.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there's you have a really, your website's very comprehensive.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Thanks.
And the dates, there's ticket links on there so you can mm-hmm. get the times and all that stuff. And you're also playing July 6th at Pearl Brewery in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
July 20th doing, is it, do you do it solo at Listen at Winflow?
No, I'll bring in two other... guitar or two musicians.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then starting in August, you'll be playing Mondays at Antone's.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's going to be great. I'll be able to make those shows.
Yeah.
What are you planning to do with those? Because the residency is weird.
It is weird. It's more.
It can be amazing.
Yeah. My goal more so is to, because I don't do anything at Antone's, my whole goal this year is to just get back on the Austin radar in music. People know that I sing and all that, but I mean, I just was kind of out of the scene for a while. So I did a lot of corporate events. So my goal is to make the connections again, play at the places that people deem worthy, I guess.
Right. I mean, Antone's is a legendary
place. Yeah, exactly.
Place
and, yeah. And then, you know, again, it's about perception. And
how did you end up doing all the corporate stuff? Because really, that's what like Bob Dylan's trying to do too.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, I mean, you know, it's the voice, really. It's the voice.
Oh, right.
And I also have another side project as well, my cover band. And my cover band makes great money.
Yeah, mine too.
Yes.
It's fucking, it's sad to say, but it's a great way to make a living.
You know, I don't find it sad. I
like,
know people do, but I don't. I
well,
love it.
The good thing that I find that yeah. your cover band does well, you work a couple of days a week.
Yeah.
And you make the money of someone that works all week, but then you have yes. the rest of the time to make I Belong to You.
Exactly.
To get out and play Geraldine's, to yeah. play, you know, 310 and do
yeah,
all that
exactly.
stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, when it comes to playing at Geraldine's, which I love playing at Geraldine's, or playing, you know, somewhere else and then having a 9-piece band, you know, I want to make sure everybody takes home something good. And,
yeah, of course.
And sometimes I go overboard by making them feel good. I don't know. And
well, that's what a good leader does.
I think that's how it should be. And
yeah.
and if, as long as they're happy, they'll continue playing with me, and then more people will come because they like it, and it always works out. So
what is your what is your genre of covers in your cover band? Is there a specificity to it, or is it more you doing all kinds of stuff?
It's all types of stuff. I mean, we'll do country, we'll do you know, Motown, rock stuff. Yeah, I get to do Free and a little bit of Aerosmith.
Free, All Right Now?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
dude, that's awesome.
That's a great song. It's freaking
yeah.
good.
Is that Paul Rogers that sang that?
You know,
or
I don't know.
Is the singer Free?
I don't know.
Huh.
But he's got a good voice.
Yeah.
He has some notes.
Yeah. He was a dude that sang with Queen. Like after, like a few years ago, they
yeah,
did
yeah.
a thing, like he was in Bad Company.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think he is the guy, because I think I saw yeah. a concert of them and I was like, it's real weird seeing Queen playing All Right Now.
Yeah.
But it was really good.
You know, I really like Queen, and I was Googling about Freddie Mercury.
Oh, God, I thought you were going to... Did you hear what AJ did on my show the other day?
No.
Oh, he said he was Googling Queen, and he didn't put N, he put F. And then he was like, you wouldn't believe how many thousands of videos are of queefing. Anyway, sorry. So you were Googling Queen. I was like, are you doing this as a joke?
I do remember this.
Are you doing this as a joke? So you were Googling Queen and Freddie
yeah.
Mercury, yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that I was alive while... Freddie Mercury was alive. I, for some reason, I thought he died before I was born.
Didn't he die like 90 91? Or 91?
Yeah. And it just blew my mind. It just blew my mind. I was like, well, God, I was still alive, you know?
Yeah.
I've been alive for some cool people that have died.
Yeah.
You know? Lots of people are dying right now.
Yeah. Here, too.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Yep. But that's what happens, you know? We die. Got real dark.
Yeah.
Yes. But that's why we make music, you know? It's like having kids, you know? You want to leave something, your legacy.
Do you have a lady, special lady?
I don't. Well, yes. Oh. Yes.
I like that.
Her name's Xbox One.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's so good to me. She's so good.
What games do you play?
Mass Effect.
I don't even know games.
That's okay. That's okay. No, I'll share it. Mass Effect. I love the whole series. Even the new one, Andromeda. Some people are very, very, like, they're not happy with it. That's okay. I like the new direction. Elder Scrolls. It's great. Elder Scrolls is one of my favorites. It's probably my favorite series. It's a lot of fantasy and elves and goblins and magic and swords and Dragon Age, same thing, you know? I love Dragon Age.
Did you play D&D when you were a kid?
I did not. I don't like card games.
Or 9-sided dice games.
Yeah, no. It's not fun to me. I mean, I like seeing it in action, but right. I'm not... And more so when I say seeing it on a TV show where they've turned it something cool, like they're... people playing around a table and it fits for the story of the television show.
Right.
But never was into that. No.
We like, are you like Game of Thrones and stuff like
I
that?
I love Game of Thrones. I read a lot of books and they're all fantasy. And yeah, those are some of my favorites. He's long-winded, but they're good.
Let me ask you this. Why did, aside from music, what made you choose political science as a major? Did you want to have something to do in that world?
I thought I did. And one of my first jobs working here in Austin was for the Republican Party of Texas, which has nothing to do with my political affiliation.
That's the thing is when you go into politics as a job, you either go get a job or you stay true to your thing.
Exactly.
But to get to work, you got to see how everything works. You got to get in.
Exactly. Yeah. No, and I mean, it was great to work there. It really was. It was interesting. I went to a lot of cool events and met a lot of cool people. You know, people are really nice when they want your money. So, that was great. But political science, I mean, it was just something.
It was something. Yeah. Okay. Because I was interested and wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Like, if I wasn't going to be a musician, I would want to be a guy that was a campaign advisor or a campaign manager or something. Like, I love the strategy of the whole thing.
I think that's what I was more interested in.
And I also like that you can still, your life isn't under a microscope.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, you get to be a part of that whole thing, but you don't have to do the shit that that guy does.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Definitely into it. Yeah.
What do you think about where are you at now, right now, with like, just like what's going on with this, you know, this, no matter how you view it as like, this could be the greatest guy or this is not the greatest guy. It is a very different time and a very polarizing time and a lot of anger.
Mm-hmm. I think that social media is a very interesting part of our culture right now, and it makes people connected, and it allows you to have arguments with a lot of people versus just the people that are in your house or, you know, in your circle of friends.
It also gives you a chance to hurt and insult.
It does.
Without consequence.
And I absolutely hate that. I hate that about social media so much. We'll never discuss my political affiliations because I am not a confrontational person unless it really, really, really bothers me. There are things that I do not like. I don't like the healthcare industry.
No.
Because it is an industry.
I don't think anybody likes the healthcare. I think you're safe saying that.
Right. Exactly. So I'm cool with that. You know, I think that money that any president chooses to allocate to whatever, I think you can, there's a lot of money that's wasted. And I think that if there is going to be money spent on a wall, that money would be better served going into helping our healthcare system become better and providing affordable care or free care to people because people get sick. To me, there is more money to be made from healthy people constantly working for you. Like you want people to work for you.
Yes.
And you want healthy people to work for you. You don't want people taking time off being sick. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to spend time training new people. You know, you want your people to be healthy and to work, you know?
Right. And the thing is you've gone through, without having to die.
Yeah, yeah.
You've gone through the healthcare system and what it's capable of and seen its shortcomings firsthand.
Yeah.
I mean, was that one of the hardest outside of having skin cancer and having to do chemotherapy and feeling awful and being scared for your life?
Yeah.
I bet also there's a fucking annoying, I mean, my friend George Reef, who just passed away, the last months of his life, him and his brother were just fucking fighting the insurance companies, everything, like just, and hours on the phone every day.
So I think that I got really, really lucky in a lot of ways when it comes to money and stuff like that. Yeah, it's super, super, super expensive. And at the end of the day, it's just like, I don't know what to do. But there are a ton of programs out there that you have to either get help finding or, I don't know. Like,
there's help out there for people.
There is help. Saying. Yeah, there is help. A lot of organizations can offer some sort of assistance. And it's just a matter of finding someone that's willing to help you. Some of my doctors were really awesome, and some things were provided for me that I had no idea how I got the assistance. So with each treatment that I had, I didn't realize because I wasn't really paying for all of it, but it was like $25,000 per infusion, and I had an infusion every 3 weeks, and I was like, God, someone is making so much money off of this. $25,000 an infusion, you know?
Do you think that infusion really
helped?
No. Do you think that infusion could be sold for less than $25,000?
Of course it can. Of course.
What a fucking, I mean, that's a huge, that's not even like $2,500. That's like $25,000.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Of course it can. That's a ridiculous amount of money. You know, if you can line up a ton of cars, you know, or just go to the lot and point to this section of cars, and that's how much my treatment was over 3 years, you know, then that's ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, healthcare.
Did the military, do you feel like the military, is your dad taken care of on that sort of like post-military level when you're supposed to get all these benefits from having been in it?
I don't know. My dad is not a complainer, or he's just very private about stuff like that. And my mom is too, so I don't really know on that aspect. With my siblings who were in the military, I hear more. Oh, yeah. I hear more from.
Are you close to them?
Close is a relative term. What does that mean to you? What does close mean?
How often do you talk to them?
I don't talk to anybody often.
Okay.
Yes. I text all the time.
Okay.
And
but you stay in contact. Right. Hey, hope you're doing good today.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, you know, some siblings more than others.
Yeah.
But yeah. Facebook is amazing. I'm so glad that there's Facebook because I can just see Facebook and I'm like, okay, you're okay. You're okay. Or, oh, you're bitching again about something stupid. Hope all is well.
Yeah, I played this high school reunion in Shreveport on Saturday.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty conservative
town
in the South. And there was a lady that, coincidentally, I knew from here that had graduated from this class and was going there to the thing. And we were talking to her outside during the break, and my friend Darren was like, you know, she got these emails from people here that were like, don't come. Like messages on Facebook, like, you're not accepted here because you don't like the current president.
Yeah.
And that was weird. And she said that the lady came up to her at the thing and said, "Oh, I can't believe you even came," and walked off. Mm. It's like, how do we get to there? You know what I mean? Like, you can't be in the same room as someone that thinks differently than you.
Yeah, that's I think you have to have somebody in your life that you like that has totally different ideas than you.
Yeah.
Because I think that makes you a little bit more welcoming.
Yeah. I'm like, what are we going to all just... That's the problem also, I feel like, with these news, like the 24-hour news channels. Like, yeah, they each are just catering to one audience. They're, yeah, not doing journalism.
Yeah.
They're not trying to discover the truth. They're just trying to freak you out because they know how.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, there's money to be made in fear.
Talk about, man, I was watching Fox News in the morning yesterday before I came back from Shreveport, and their commercials are all medicines.
Mm, yeah.
All pharmaceutical,
yep,
things. Medicine. It's all combined.
It is. It's so crazy.
It is crazy. But I'll tell you what, choosing music and doing as well as you have and getting yourself to a level where you're making a living doing it, you've got a business that you run outside of just the Tides. What's your cover band called?
The Argyles.
You're in the Argyles?
Thank you.
With Amy?
Yes.
And with Kevin
McKinney? Haven't I told you this?
And Rusty?
We talk about it all the time. Talk about it.
Yeah, yes. Sorry. Well, I'm supposed to act surprised on my show. No, I can't remember everything.
You do remember a lot, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't really look at my notes.
No, no.
The only thing I look at is just to make sure I don't say the album name wrong.
Oh, yeah,
because that's always embarrassing.
Oh.
It's for me. Like, you know, whenever I've been interviewed as well, when someone does something wrong like that, you're like, dude.
I actually don't get embarrassed. I'm like, I just, no, I know really, there's so much. There's...
You have a very interesting personality.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of stuff rolls off of you, which is probably lets you live in a comfortable state.
A lot of stuff does, but there are certain things that I internalize. I train myself not to respond like other people respond. I train myself, like scary movies. I love scary movies, but you'll never see me jump. You'll never see me jump.
Even when you get surprised?
Even when I'm surprised, because I'm terrible at receiving gifts. I'm terrible at being surprised. I'm terrible at showing those type of emotions. Smiling, that's good. I can do that. I can do that. But everything else, no. Everything, you just got to let it roll off.
Right, because it was Rusty that told me. I told you that. I was like, oh, Rusty told me.
Yeah.
Chris Gebhard was telling me how great you were.
Yeah. Oh, singing. You know, he's good. He's a good guy.
You guys tear down your own equipment.
I do not.
You don't?
I do not.
Okay, good. Because that part was worrying me
with
Rusty. I was like, you got to do that? That's crazy.
Oh, he does. Yeah.
He doesn't, you know, it's not his. I think he gets, in our band, like, we're so lazy.
Yeah.
That, like, there's like, it's like 11 people that go everywhere together when there's just 7 people in the band. Like, we still need all these other people to help us.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, it helps. Because your performance has to be fresh. And there is, when you're driving, when you're like out on the road and you are loading in your shit every day and you got to do this load in and then just like a roadie guy and do all this whole sound check thing and then go try and get a thing and then, oh God, you got to get something to eat real fast. Then you get up to sing and you've already worked a whole day.
Yeah, yeah. That was me yesterday. It was renting and I had to rent all of the equipment. Had to make sure that, you know, I met up the sound guy. But in my Prius, I had so much equipment. I was like, okay, man, I'm pretty sure I'm going to scrape the asphalt as I'm driving because there's just so... And this big subwoofer was weighing everything down and, you know, like 8 speakers and just a lot in a little Prius.
Yeah.
But she did good. She did good. And then to load it in 100-degree weather...
Oh. That's the thing, too. Unload it,
and I live on the 3rd floor.
Ugh.
And I don't want to leave any of that in the car. So each trip, like, I'm coming back and, you know, up and down the stairs with all that stuff, you know.
That's why you look so great.
No, I
stayed on the 1st floor because I was like, I got way too much shit to be fucking loading in and out upstairs and downstairs. 1st
floor is expensive.
Is it?
Yeah.
You mean it's cheaper if I moved upstairs?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather stay down here, though.
Yeah, I totally understand that, yeah.
Is there anything I'm missing, people? If you're listening to this the day it comes out, I'm going to repeat this, even though you've already heard it. Saturday, June 24th at 310 ACL Live. This is your own show, Ty Austin.
That
is there anything I'm missing talking to? I really like you, man.
Oh, thank you. I like you, too. Yeah.
I enjoy talking to you. I really do think you're phenomenally talented.
You know, there's a ton of phenomenally talented people in this world.
You don't have to throw a rock very far to hit one.
You don't.
Especially
you don't.
In this town.
And that's why I love this town. It's amazing, and you get the opportunity to hang out with great people and make music with great people, and there's always something going on.
Yeah. Sometimes you get to make cake with great people.
You sure do.
Yeah.
You sure do.
I'll post a link to our cake-making episode of Cooking and Drinking with Johnny and AJ on the How Did I Get Here Facebook page, so you know. And there's nothing I'm missing.
Nope.
People go to mynameistyaustin.com, pick up his album, I Belong to You, available on all the platforms, and check out his, he's going to be playing in San Antonio, he'll be playing in Austin, he starts his Monday residency in August, but of course, go tomorrow night, Saturday, June 24th to 310 ACL Live, and see my friend Ty Austin.
And also get some cake, because I'm going to bring some cake.
Ooh.
Yes.
I promise you, this cake is worth it.
I think it is.
I've only had one cake with you. And it was so good, I'll never forget it.
And I've perfected it since then.
Shit, whiskey cake.
Yes.
Thank you for coming on the show, man.
Thank you. All right. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. Ty Austin, his new album, I Belong to You, is out. Go to mynameistyaustin.com. And don't forget, tomorrow night, if you live in Austin and you're listening to this the day that it comes out, he will be playing tomorrow night, Saturday, June 24th at 310 at Austin City Limits Live. Go to mynameistyaustin.com for all your Ty Austin needs. He'll also be doing Mondays in August at Antone's. That should be a lot of fun. I'll be going down to those a lot, hanging out. I love that place. Love Ty Austin. It was great talking to him. He's a very interesting cat, very cool cat, and a very talented, talented man. All right? Thanks for coming by, Ty. Great talking to you. All right, hey, listen, while you're out there going to mynameistyaustin.com and you're looking up stuff of his on the internet, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, on Overcast, on all of the podcast mediums, on your iPhone podcast app, whatever it is that you listen to podcasts on, subscribe to this podcast, and you can like our Facebook page. It's called "It's How Did I Get Here?" of course. And if you like this show, if you're a fan of Ty's and you thought this was a great conversation, share it with your friends on social media with the hashtag #HowDidIGetHerePod. That way everyone will know what you're talking about, okay? Let's hear some more music from the great Ty Austin. Don't forget to get out there and see him tomorrow night, Saturday, June 24th at 310 ACL Live. It's going to be a great show. Have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.
whiskey and I'm two sheets to the wind, trying to drown all of this pain. My baby left me just a few shots of whiskey, gonna help me to forget. I've been drinking all alone. My baby left me.